All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Jury verdicts, they seem pretty simple on the surface, right? Like the jury hears the case, they make a decision, and boom, that's that.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But sometimes, well, the jury's findings can get a little, shall we say,
A
complicated.
little messy.
Exactly. And that's what makes today's case so fascinating. We're diving into Fernando Dick v. MGM Grand Hotel, Inc., a case out of Nevada that really throws a wrench into those straightforward assumptions about jury verdicts.
It's a wild ride from the initial trial to a resubmitted verdict, then a district court decision, and finally all the way up to an appeal.
A real legal roller coaster. And our mission today is to unpack all of it. We want to understand, like, the step-by-step process of this case, the logic behind how the courts handled these seemingly contradictory findings from the jury, and what it all means for, the big picture roles of juries and the whole idea of judicial oversight.
Right, making sure everything's running smoothly. And we've got some great material to help us piece this puzzle together. We're looking at actual court documents, plus some insightful legal analyses. So let's set the stage. Who exactly was Fernando Duque, and what landed him at the MGM Grand in the first place?
Okay, so Fernando Duque, he was a guest at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. Important to note, he was dealing with some health issues, namely alcoholism and insulin-dependent diabetes.
Oh, wow. So already a complicated situation.
Yeah, definitely. And things kind of went downhill from there. This incident that, sparked the whole legal battle, it happened while Duque was at the hotel. And let's just say he was heavily intoxicated.
Having a bit too much fun.
You could say that. He was being disruptive at one of the hotel's restaurants and also gambling, and it escalated to the point where, well, MGM security had to step in. One of the security guards ended up making what's called a citizen's arrest.
Hold on, citizen's arrest. Can just anyone do that?
Yeah, it can be a bit confusing. In this context, a citizen's arrest basically means a private person, not a police officer, can detain someone they believe has committed a crime, but, they have to hand them over to law enforcement as soon as possible.
Gotcha. So security detained Duke, waiting for the police to arrive. And I'm guessing this is where his health conditions become even more of a factor.
Absolutely. Duke's wife, she actually reached out to hotel security, made sure they knew he was diabetic. This is a super crucial detail.
Okay, I see where this is going.
While he was in custody waiting for the police, Duke started complaining of lung pain. An ambulance was called, but Duke later claimed that he had also told security about chest pains and that this specific complaint wasn't relayed to the paramedics.
Well, that's a big deal.
Huge potential issue. So the paramedics show up, they assess Duke's condition, primarily noting his intoxication, and then, well, he was taken to jail. Unfortunately, that was just the beginning of his medical problems.
Sounds like it. What happened next?
The very next day, Duke was hospitalized. Turns out he'd suffered a heart attack. And not just any heart attack, it was severe enough that he ended up needing a heart transplant.
Wow. Talk about a turn of events.
Yeah, pretty dramatic. And naturally, after going through all of that, Duke decided to sue MGM. His argument was that their negligence, their failure to properly handle the situation, had directly led to his injuries.
That makes sense. So this brings us to the trial and a jury verdict that, well, let's just say it raised a few eyebrows.
It threw a real curveball into the legal proceedings. The jury, they found that Duke was actually 65% responsible for his own injuries. But then, despite finding him that heavily at fault, they still awarded him a whopping $3.3 million in damages.
Wait, hold on. 65% responsible, but still gets millions. Something doesn't add up here.
Right. That's the inconsistency. And this is where Nevada law really comes into play. They have what's called a modified comparative negligence system. Basically, it means a plaintiff, the person suing, can only receive damages if their own negligence is 50% or less.
So if you're more than half responsible for your own mess, you can't collect any money.
You got it. So the jury finding Duke 65% negligent, well, under Nevada law, that should have meant no damages whatsoever. Zero. So we've got a problem.
A big one. How did the judge handle this? Did they just toss the verdict out right then and there?
Nope, not quite. The judge, recognizing this obvious contradiction, decided to send the verdict form back to the jury. Same jury, mind you. They asked them to take another look at their findings, to really think about the legal instructions they'd been given.
So kind of like, hey, double check your work, folks.
Pretty much. The idea is to give the jury, who've already heard all the evidence, a chance to, correct any mistakes they might have made. It preserves their role as the fact finders and, could potentially save everyone a ton of time and hassle that comes with a whole new trial.
Makes sense. So what happened next? Did the jury change their minds?
They did. And get this, after deliberating for only about 20 minutes, they came back with a revised verdict.
That's pretty quick.
Right. In the second go-around, they shifted their negligence finding quite a bit, saying Dukas was 49% negligent and MGM was 51%. But here's the interesting part. They didn't touch the damage award. That $3.3 million stayed put.
Interesting. So now, at least on the surface, it looks like the verdict aligns with Nevada law. But I bet this isn't the end of the story.
You bet it isn't. Despite this seemingly adjusted verdict, MGM wasn't satisfied. They filed a motion for a new trial. Their argument was that the initial inconsistency, combined with how quickly the jury came to their revised decision, suggested it wasn't a genuine reconsideration, but more like a compromise.
Like they just wanted to get it over with.
Yeah, potentially. And the district court, they actually sided with MGM. They granted the motion for a new trial, which meant the whole case would have to be retried from scratch.
Whoa, one trial, two verdicts, and now back to square one. Talk about a legal marathon.
You said it. But Duke wasn't done fighting. He appealed the district court's decision to order a new trial, taking it up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Round two.
His main argument was that the second verdict, the one where they found him 39% negligent, that should have been the final word. The district court, he claimed, messed up by ordering a whole new trial.
So now the appeals court has to weigh in. This is getting into some pretty fundamental legal territory, right? What were the big questions the Ninth Circuit had to grapple with?
You hit the nail on the head. This case raised some core issues about jury verdicts and the courts. The first big question was, did the district court even have the right to send that initial messed up verdict back to the jury? Like, was that a legit move?
Right, because the jury already gave their decision, so can you just bounce it back to them like that?
That's the question. And maybe even more important was whether the district court was wrong to order a whole new trial instead of just accepting that second verdict, the one that seemed to line up with the law.
Okay, so two big legal puzzles for the Ninth Circuit to solve. What was their final decision?
The Ninth Circuit sided with Fernando Duke. They overturned the order for a new trial and told the lower court to enter a judgment based on that second jury verdict, the one where he was found 49% negligent, awarding him the $3.3 million.
So the Ninth Circuit basically said that second verdict, that's the end of it. What was their reasoning? Why disagree with the district court?
So they laid out a few key points. First, they said that sending an inconsistent verdict back to the jury for clarification, while they're still there, you know, still impaneled, is a totally valid and common procedure. It's within the district court's discretion.
Okay, so the judge did have the power to do that initial send back.
Exactly. And the Ninth Circuit emphasized that letting the original jury fix any errors they made, it's good for fairness and for efficiency, better than throwing out all their work and starting from scratch.
Makes sense. Less wasted time and resources. What else did they say?
This is a big one. The Ninth Circuit really hammered home the court's duty to try its best to reconcile jury verdicts, even when they seem contradictory, especially considering the Seventh Amendment, you know, the right to a jury trial.
Right, right. The Seventh Amendment, super important.
Absolutely. The court said that judges have to actively seek a reasonable interpretation of the jury's answers that makes them consistent. If there is such an interpretation, they have to go with that.
So they can't just chuck a verdict because it's confusing.
That's the idea. And in the Duke case, the Ninth Circuit clearly believed that the second verdict could be reconciled with the first one.
Meaning they saw a way to make sense of both verdicts without assuming the jury was just messing around.
Right. The Ninth Circuit's take was that the second verdict wasn't some shady compromise, but a legitimate attempt by the jury to correct their first mistake about the comparative negligence rule. They figured the jury, on second thought, tweaked the negligence percentages to fit Nevada law, but still wanted Duke to get the damages they initially decided on.
Okay, so they saw it as a correction, not a cop-out. But it sounds like the Ninth Circuit wasn't too happy with how the district court handled things.
Yeah, they definitely weren't. They straight up disagreed with the district court's decision to just throw out the second verdict and call for a new trial. They thought the district court jumped the gun, didn't give enough weight to the idea that the jury could clear up their own findings.
So, a bit hasty on the district court's part.
You could say that. The Ninth Circuit even had some pretty pointed quotes in their opinion. One was, where there is a view of the case that makes the jury's answers consistent, they must be resolved that way.
Meaning, if there's a reasonable explanation, the court has to go with it.
Exactly. And to address the whole compromise idea, they said, resubmission allows correction of mistakes, not an improper compromise. Boom, right there in the opinion.
Pretty clear message. Anything else they emphasized?
They highlighted the practical side, too, saying that resubmission conserves judicial resources and respects the jury's role. So it's about efficiency and honoring the jury's place in the system. And to really spell it out for the trial court, they said, the trial court has a duty to reconcile the verdicts on any reasonable theory consistent with the evidence.
No mincing words there. So the Ninth Circuit really prioritized upholding the jury's role and understanding their decisions. A new trial was like the last resort.
Exactly. They wanted to give the jury every opportunity to get it right, to make their decision clear. And it's worth noting that while the focus was on the verdict consistency, the Ninth Circuit also quickly looked at other aspects. They didn't find any problems with how the jury calculated the damages or with the settlements made with other parties before the trial. But those were side points compared to the main issue of the wonky verdicts.
Got it. So, big picture, what can we learn from Duke v. MGM, especially for those of us still in law school?
This case, it's a powerful example of the balance between a judge's discretion and the importance of respecting what the jury decides. You know, a principle baked right into our legal system protected by the Seventh Amendment. It shows us that judges can't just dismiss a jury verdict because it seems confusing or contradictory at first glance.
So it's not enough for a verdict to just be legally correct. There's more to it than that.
There's a process. Judges have a responsibility to try to grasp what the jury meant, to find a way to make their findings fit together, especially when the jury's still around to explain themselves.
It's like a conversation between the judge and jury. They're working together to reach a just outcome.
Exactly. For you all as future legal eagles, this case, it's like a real-world lesson and some tricky procedural stuff you're likely to encounter. It shows the Seventh Amendment in action and highlights the steps courts need to take when a jury verdict looks a bit iffy. It's not just about knowing the law. It's about understanding the whole process, the reasons behind these safeguards.
Right, the how and the why, not just the what.
And remember what we talked about earlier, those details matter. Paying close attention to even the small stuff in a case, that's key for accurate legal analysis. Get those facts straight.
Solid advice. This deep dive has been eye-opening. We started with what seemed like a simple personal injury case, and now we're talking about the Seventh Amendment and the role of juries.
It's all connected. So to wrap up, what's the big takeaway for everyone listening?
Lay it on us.
The core lesson from Duke v. MGM is this. Judges have a serious duty to try their absolute best to reconcile jury verdicts that seem inconsistent before they jump to ordering a new trial. This all comes from a deep respect for the jury's role, their power as the main fact finders in our system. It's a constitutional right.
The jury has a voice, and the court needs to listen. And on that note, here's a final thought for you to ponder. How does this whole case, with its ups and downs and twists and turns, how does it change your view of how juries and judges work together to achieve justice? Is it always about sticking to the letter of the law, or is there room for interpretation, for figuring out the jury's intent? What does this case tell us about the balance of power in our courts? Lots to think about, right?
Definitely gives you a new perspective.
Big thanks to everyone for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.